Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Grecian's Gossip. I'm joined by the usual crowd: David Byram,
hello;
Dan Clark,
hello;
and Jamie Hawkins,
hello.
Right, plenty to discuss, so let's crack on. I mean, we'll start off with the game at the weekend: Accrington and Stanley 2-0 win for Exeter City. Jamie, you were covering that match for us. What did you make of it? 2-0 first scoreline?
Yeah, could have been more actually. I think the Accrington manager John Colwyn said it could have been a lot more. Yeah, it was a very comfortable win in the end. Disappointed by Accrington, who have been, you know, up there this season at the top. I think they went into it 8 games unbeaten, something like that. So, you know, I think we all expected a really tough game. And in the end, it turned out to be the complete opposite. And, you know, good goals as well. You know, Hiram Boateng, who was superb on Saturday, you know, by far man of the match, scored a brilliant goal just on the stroke of half time, which was a crucial time to score, of course. I wouldn't have said that would have, you know, changed the way the game played out. I think we would have won anyway. Yeah, it was a really comfortable afternoon and a great way to bounce back from a really disappointing week. You know, Tisdale said he was, you know, looking for a response, and he certainly got one on Saturday. And you know, I think the most pleasing thing was the results against the top teams haven't been good this season, you know, losing to Coventry, Notts County and Luton. So to pick up a win against a team like Accrington, who will probably be up there this season, is very pleasing. And, you know, it gives the whole place a lift, as, you know, the crowd, you know, certainly got behind the players on Saturday.
David, I mean, how crucial do you think that win was, relative early in the season, but the fact it keeps them in touch with the teams above them like that?
I think that's a key point, yeah. You know, if City had lost, they'd have been 10 points behind Accrington and, you know, probably further behind and Notts County and Luton. And, you know, so it keeps them in touch, moves them within, you know, within a point now of Accrington. And I'm not hundreds of sure, but I think next up, Luton playing Notts County as well, so that would be a big game in itself. And that gives City a chance to perhaps, you know, close a gap on them as well. So with the way the fixtures are poised at the moment, I think it was really important, and, you know, a positive way to get back to winning ways after 2 disappointing results as well.
And positive performance as well as result as well, which I guess will lend you the confidence.
Exactly, yeah. Well. Yeah, you know, to beat one of your promotion rivals 2-0, you can't really complain with that, can you?
A lot of talk about formations. I mean, I think I might saw Tisdale go 3-5-2. Dan, I mean, do you think that's there to stay now for City?
I think the fact that it was the formation last night as well, in the Checkatrade Trophy tie, even though the players actually picked didn't really suit the 3-5-2 at all, but he's still stuck with that system, suggests at least for the next 3 or 4 games that's how he's going to go, that's how he wants to play. And it obviously worked on Saturday, and it looks like, you know, he's worked in the past, obviously, that the system for Exeter, you know, 2 or 3 times he's gone back to that 3-5-2. It's working. It looks like you've got the players who can do it, particularly given the actual wide men in, you know, Lee Holmes and co out injured at the minute anyway, means there's not really a lot of wingers around. I mean, you've got the centre, you know, you get Moxie and Wilson at wing backs, looks more in a kind of natural role for them. You know, centre backs, if everyone's fit, you've got Pierce Sweeney, Moore Taylor, Brown, and that looks like a solid back three. Obviously, Troy Brown's injury might throw a bit of a spanner in the works and have to, you know, rethink how he's going to do that. But it allows you to get the midfield in the side as well. You can get all of Boateng, Taylor, and James in that side. Obviously, Tilson could come in, Harley could come in if when they return to fitness, and you can get the, you know, the 2 men up front without sacrificing a little bit in the midfield. It does sort of suit the players that Exeter have got at the minute, and I'd expect to definitely see it for the next couple of games at the very least, and then, you know, if it works, go from there. If not, you might need to make the changes. But 3-5-2 has worked in the past, and there's no reason why it can't work in the future. It definitely worked at the weekend, so it's also the system in vogue, I suppose, throughout the country at the minute, three at the back. So
it is, isn't it? Jamie, can you 3-5-2, is that the future as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I think it needed changing up because the last few weeks hadn't really been working. You know, Craig Whitman's been slightly out of form lately, so he was rightly, in my opinion, you know, dropped on Saturday. So, you know, there was a question of who would play there, and Moxie filled in, albeit a wing back. And, you know, I think it didn't seem to work at first for the first few minutes on Saturday. I think Sweeney struggled to adapt to it. But by the end, he was, you know, completely like he'd been playing there for years, really. And, you know, it got Moxie and Wilson the space to run forward. And Wilson, you know, the second half, he was brilliant. He made so many runs down the right-hand side, gave the Accrington left-back a hard time. And, yeah, it seemed to work, you know, brilliantly. And, you know, obviously there's a question about Troy Brown, how bad his injury is. But I thought Troy Archibald-Henville, apart from Boateng, was the best player on the pitch by far. I felt sorry for him because there was a lot of nervousness in a way when he came on. People thinking, oh, no, because this season he hadn't really been playing well, although he hadn't been playing much. But he was brilliant when he came on, and you know, very much the Troy of old that we grew to know and love. So yeah, very promising. And like I said, it was a packed midfield, which I think we had been struggling in recently. I think James and Boateng had struggled to get a grip of the middle of the pitch, and arguably that's where the game's been lost, I suppose, in midfield. So yeah, based on Saturday, keep it going. Yeah.
Mm. David, is there anyone who kind of misses out if Tiz decides to keep with 3-5-2?
Not at the moment, I wouldn't say. You know, with because of injuries and that sort of thing, is there anyone really that you'd think, well, they should definitely come into the team if you know, at the moment? But you know, when players return to fitness, players like Lee Holmes would be one, for example. You know, you couldn't really see fitting into a 3-5-2 too well, because you know, he's not so much a wing back. Then there's obviously, you know, the whole striker conundrum of Reuben Reid, Liam McAlinden, and Jaden Stockley, but that would happen in a 4-4-2 as well. So I don't think so. I mean, I've been keen to see what a 3-5-2 would be like for a while for City, to be honest, because you know, I think they've got the players to do it and that sort of thing, and it's worked on Saturday. So I think for the moment, you know, Paul Tiz doesn't want to change a winning formation either, and I don't think he'd view it as players missing out, more as, you know, giving players a chance to impress in a new formation.
Okay. Taking credit for Tisdale's tactical mastery. You were, David, as well, at the Chelsea game on Tuesday night, the defeat to the under-21s in the Checkatoe Trophy. Do you want to tell us a bit about that? I mean, City took the lead, didn't they, I think, right? So,
yeah.
And then sort of fell away towards the end.
Yeah, took the lead, gave away a soft goal to equalise just before half-time. And second half, they didn't play too badly, but Chelsea, as you'd expect from a young team, were just better in both boxes, really. You know, City had, apart from Reuben Reid and Craig Woodman and Ryan Harley in the first half, had you know, quite a young team out themselves. So I think they put up quite a decent battle against this Chelsea side, who, you know, had an under-17 World Cup winner in there. They've had players, I think, under-17 Euro winner as well. And so, you know, this wasn't a Chelsea team to be sniffed at, really. And so I think, you know, they put up a good effort, and they can sort of hold their heads high. And, you know, I think the value that Paul Tisdale placed on the competition is probably evident in the fact that Archie Collins, an attacking midfielder, played centre-back, a position he'd never played before, and a position Paul Tisdale said afterwards he'd never play again. So I think that sort of sums up how Paul Tisdale's view on it. It was more to give players game time and more to give young players a chance, and, you know, to give them a chance to run his eye over some young players. So I don't think anyone's too downhearted or disappointed with it. Perhaps, you know, you can perhaps think, oh, Craig Woodman hasn't done himself any favours with the first goal especially. But I think he wouldn't have started on Saturday anyway, so there's sort of nothing too major there.
Dan, you're at the game as well. I mean, I think, like David alluded to just then, Tiz and everyone at City probably won't be losing too much sleep about being out of the competition. But I mean, the nature of the goals in particular, I gather they were quite disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal is just it's a little bit, it's just a soft back pass from Woodman. It's just not quite got enough on it. And, you know, Heyman just doesn't get, you know, he's quick off his line to pretty much everything else all night, other than that one moment. And, you know, Callum Hudson-Odoi gets there first and puts the ball into the empty net. And, you know, he looked a threat all night. And as you'd expect from, you know, some of the Chelsea's talented youngsters. I mean, the second goal is just, you know, you really wouldn't expect someone to be left free at the back post from a corner. You know, and the third goal, Heyman gets two hands to it. And you feel if you've got two hands to it, you should be keeping it out, really, rather than, you know, going to the back. And it's just, you know, Chelsea were the better side of, you know, it was their kids against Exeter's kids, really, and you'd expect Chelsea's kids to be a lot better. But it's just, I think the goal's just a little bit, you know, too, you know, avoidable in the sense that that's not how, you know, if you were going to concede goals, you wouldn't have thought, you know, a set piece, a sloppy back pass, you know, a cross coming into the box with the kind of goals you'd expect. You'd expect to be, you know, good play and just beaten that you couldn't do much about. And I think Exeter perhaps be a little disappointed that other than Ruben Reid's, you know, well taken early goal, that they didn't really test, you know, Chelsea too much, you know, going the other way. I mean, I can't really recall, you know, Chelsea's keeper making any kind of saves really in the whole game. He didn't look, you know, 100% confident in what he was doing, something, you know, in the general play, but they just didn't test him at all. And, you know, perhaps it's a little bit of a, you know, a black mark against some of the attackers that, okay, they're Chelsea's youngsters. They are, you know, some of the best in England, some of the best in Europe. But you'd have expected a little bit more, perhaps, going forward than Exeter than what they got. And, you know, they sort of went almost too defensive, left Ruben Reid far too isolated up front on his own for large parts of the game. But I don't think anyone's too downhearted. It'd been a trip to Milton Keynes in the next round anyway. It'd be hard to see Exeter coming through that as it is. So, you know, just almost got to think players have got game time. Some of the youngsters, you know, made a debut and, you know, forget about it. Ruben Reid's got his goal, move on to the FA Cup and try and go through that.
Mm, okay. Well, David, you caught up with Paul Tizzle after the game, so let's listen to what he had to say about it.
It was 90 minutes for one or two players who really needed it. Ruben and Craig Woodman and Carl and MJ, who were on the fringe of the first team on Saturday and who needed to play. So, good 90 minutes for those players. And really impressed with the two young players who came on the hour mark, Joel Randle and Will Ding, both really sort of stepped into the game, and it was a really positive moment for those two players. So well done those two. And, you know, generally it was a different type of game than we normally play. It was a tough challenge for us. Bearing in mind I wanted to get certain players on the pitch and had to really sort of manipulate things to get those players on the pitch today. And conceded a soft first goal, but that was a disappointing one. We were 1-0 up and that was a really soft goal, so that was disappointing. But generally pleased to get the game into the legs of one or two players. It's nice to see those young players come on the pitch, and there's one or two players I thought played really well, like Jordan Story, for example, who had the strength, the athleticism to cope with their players, and I think made another step forward in his progress today.
He handed a number of debuts today as well, one from the start, Archie Collins, playing in an unfamiliar position as well in right side centre-half.
Yeah, I don't think he plays centre-half too often. I mean, again, There were 11 players that I wanted to play, and I had to find a way to get them all on the pitch. And there was a compromise somewhere, and that was Archie centre back, and he ended up playing number 10 off the front. So it was one of those days today. It was a challenge in just manipulating the team and getting all those players onto the pitch and some football under their belts. And you know, I'm disappointed to lose any game of football, but it was a very difficult game on a difficult pitch, and the players worked pretty hard.
And then you mentioned there a step forward for Jordan Story, a step forward as well for Kane Wilson, who provided a lovely cross for Ruben Reid.
Yeah, he had another good game, and he played on Saturday. I wanted him to have some football today, but I didn't want him to go much further than the hour mark Saturday. Frost Green on the horizon, so I'd love to have stayed on the pitch, but Sunday was the priority.
Yeah, and just finally Ryan Harvey, 45 minutes for him as well.
I forgot about Ryan. Yeah, I mean, he is some athlete to be able to run around like he did with the ballot for his show tonight for 45 minutes. I've not played a game since August. Really impressed, as always, with his application, his work rate, and one of the best defenders I've had at Exeter. He showed up tonight in the first half. He was sublime in his positional play. And I think that it brings now the opportunity for him maybe to enter back into first team football, probably a step closer. Let's see how his ankle reacts to tonight's game. But if it went to plan and he's come through unscathed, then it's actually a real step forward.
So that was Paul Tisdale talking about the match. Right, Dan, you kind of alluded to a moment ago, FA Cup of the weekend, Forest Green Rovers. Jamie, I mean, City, do you think they'll be confident of making it through?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always good to go into the game on the back of a win. I mean, Accrington won. I don't think many will lose too much sleep over the Chelsea game. We expect a completely different team, really. You know, I was there earlier this season in September when we won 3-1, and it was a very comfortable game, comfortable win. Forest Green were pretty poor. You know, all our goals came from bad defending mistakes, scoreboy mistakes, really. But since then, you know, they've really picked up form. When we went in September, they were bottom of the league, won once, I think, all season. Now they've won 5 of the last 9, so it's going to be a really tough game. You know, City haven't been very consistent themselves recently, so you know it is going to be a difficult game. But I think, you know, that win on Accrington will give the players such a massive boost, which was needed after that crawling defeat. It gives the whole place a big lift. And but you know, as Tisdale said, I spoke to him Monday. It's a cup game. Form goes out the window. It's all to play for. Winner takes all. And you know, as we're going to come on to, a place in the third round awaits, which, you know, as Tisdale said, gives that players the extra motivation that they need, you know, to play a Premier League team. So it is going to be a tough game, but, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. Got to love a cup game.
Yeah, definitely. City have already beaten them once this season, so I mean, but by all accounts, Forest Green Rovers have improved quite a bit since then. So you think City will go in as favourites?
Slight favourites, I think, just based on league position, but you know, I would expect a tough game, and to be honest, I wouldn't bet against a draw in a replay, because that game in September, Forest Green, they didn't play too bad when they had the ball. It was just poor errors which cost them dear, and Mark Cooper's clearly, you know, worked on their defence and sorted it out a bit. I think there were a few issues off the pitch as well with their captain Liam Noble. I think he fell out with him and he's left now. But yeah, they've picked up, and you know, they got Christian Doige up front, who scored 12 goals. He scored, you know, 7 in 5 as well, so he's going to be a real danger for City. So yeah, it will be a tough game, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. David, as Jamie said, placed in the third round coming up now. Previous season, City have, you know, relied on some pretty massive third round games to really help them financially. I guess they're not quite in those sort of financial situations now, but even so, a place in the third round would be pretty welcome. Well, for both these sides, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's exposure, isn't it? Obviously, it depends who you get in the third round, but you know, you get a big side, suddenly you've got match of the day coming down, that sort of thing, and that can be huge for a club. And you know, it can really massively boost the side's budget if they do get a third round tie. It happens to Kane, or get a big third round tie. It happened to Cambridge a couple of seasons ago. It happened to Exeter with Liverpool last season, especially as well. So it, you know, that it's something not to be sniffed at, really. Even nowadays, when clubs place less significance on the FA Cup in the Premier League, you know, these low clubs like Exeter and Forest Green can use it to their advantage. I mean, obviously, Forest Green have got quite a wealthy owner, so they're in a bit of a different position to City. But equally, they're a club who seem to court some publicity in a way with their whole vegetarian thing and that sort of thing. So I'm sure they won't turn a place in the third round either.
Mm. Dan, we've already talked about formations, but can you see Tiz making any changes personnel-wise?
You potentially going to have to be one.
Should qualify,
right? You'd hope it doesn't go with the same line that started or was finished on Tuesday night. But from Saturday, I suppose the obvious one, Troy Brown limped off injured. If he, you know, if he's fit, like he starts. But if not, then you know, Troy Archibald Handball was the obvious player to come in. But whether he
Archie Collins.
No, he'd be the obvious solution to slot in at centre half, providing, of course, he's fit and that's. You know,
Tiz likes to mix things up.
Yeah, Jordan Story. I don't think he, you know, disgraced himself at all last night in the at centre back. He'd be probably the next one, you know, the next player to come into that position. He played in the centre of the back three last night. You know, had a reasonably good game, so would probably come in if Troy Archibald Handball's not. Going further forward, I can't really see too many changes, if any. You'd think Ruben Riedel, he got his goal, but the performance probably didn't do enough performance-wise, I don't think, to force either McElinden or Stockley out of the side last night. Ryan Harley, obviously, he's back fit, but probably not fit. I wouldn't have thought to start yet. You'd expect him on the bench. I thought he'd probably be on the bench, but again, not going to start at this stage. You'd be looking probably one change, and that's, you know, at centre half, depending on injuries. You know, it's going to be pretty much everyone was rested last night, so you're going to be it's going to be a full strength side. I would have thought or hoped.
David, is that how you see it as well?
Yeah, I can't. You know, Tiz isn't one to change over winning side, is he? So it all depends on Troy Brown, really. I think, yeah.
Mm. On that note, I mean, Jamie, you spoke to Tiz on Monday, and I think you asked him about Troy Brown, right? So he didn't give a great deal away, but do you want to sort of tell us what?
No, I mean, when I spoke to him, it was still quite soon since it happened. He said it was a knee injury, which he thinks is the same one that he hurt at Wembley in the playoff final. He just said it was too early to tell. I think he's having a scan within the next couple of days, so maybe when Dave speaks to him at the press call on Thursday, he might be able to shed some more light on it. But, you know, he limped off quite heavily. You know, he had to almost be carried off, and there were one or two rumours that he left the ground on crutches after the games, which obviously wouldn't be good news. So it would be a blow, but you know, Troy Archibald would do ever so well on Saturday, so he'd be a great replacement for him. So as Tizzle said, fingers crossed, it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, you caught up with Ruben Reid, I think, didn't you? So let's have a listen to what he has said about the game coming up.
It was a game where we set up in a way to, you know, sort of, we knew from the start that we were going to have the majority of the ball, and it did pan out that way. We managed to create certain scenarios that were good, or enable us to go in, a goal up. Unfortunately, we conceded three really poor goals, really, where despite their possession, we kind of gave them three goals, which enabled them to win the game, which is disappointing. But yeah, good workout, and it was a competitive game, and I think all of us on that field can take a lot from that team as well. Even though they're young in age, you know, the way they move the ball, how comfortable they are, the movement, their athleticism was a big positive for them, and it's quite refreshing to see that. Yeah,
and I suppose quite a few young players on Sofa City as well, playing against players sort of their age, you know, like Hudson Odoi, who obviously won the Under 17 World Cup. So, you know, for the young City players, you know, they can take a lot from holding their own pretty much against those sort of players.
As I said, even me, I'm quite experienced, you know, and myself, I'm learning from those guys, you know, where they take the balls in certain areas, how they move, how dynamic they are, how confident they are. But what you got to understand is those guys play that pattern every day with each other, and they're a tight-knit squad, they're a team itself, you know. It's the lads who've come in and made their debut for the club, you know, congratulations to them. And they put them, you know, despite this scenario, they put a good show of themselves. And I guess that's what it's all about, really. But they can, you know, it's something they can aspire to, you know, looking bloody hell, do you know what I mean? Those guys, they won the World Cup. I'm on the same level. I can be at that level type thing and beyond. So, yeah, it's positive for the younger lads who play tonight as well.
And obviously, you got your first goal for a while. I know you've been saying it's sort of more about performances for you, but is it good to sort of get that monkey off the back in a way and find the back of the net again?
Yeah, obviously that's what I'm going to be. I'm out there doing. It's not, as I said before, it's not at the forefront of my mind, but course, you know, when you do score, it puts your team in a position to win the game, and that's what I need to be doing. You know, is scoring. So, yeah, it's good to always good to score. You know, in a nutshell. But as I said, I'm more. What's at the forefront of my mind is how I interact in the game. You know, with the ball, and you know how I can influence a game, which is more important to me. And as I said, once you're doing that, your goals will come.
And a trip to Forest Green on Saturday in the Cup, you know, a side you've beaten already, and you know, a potential, you know, Premier League opposition if you can get a win. But have you got to sort of put that to the back of your mind for the moment? Just focus on this game coming up.
I don't think you can look beyond the game that you've not. You can't look to a fixture that you've not potentially got yet. I mean, I think they've had an upturn really in performances and a few results. Even though I don't look too deeply at the moment at the league table and what other teams are doing, I'm more concentrated on what we're doing. But I think they'll probably be in a better position, you know, mentally and whatnot. Despite from the last time we played them, I should say. So you know, it's going to be a test. And listen, the FA Cup games with that crazy ball that we use as well is that light ball that goes anyway. It's always an off. You know, it's always an isolated fixture, so I wouldn't take anything from the last result. We know it's going to go, and it's a different game. It's a nice tight pitch. They looked to play last time. We're a different team from what we was then. So, who knows what could happen on the day? But obviously, yeah, your prize is who you know are being in the hat the next day. It'll be nice to be in the draw. Yeah.
And is there sort of that much of a bigger difference between the balls then? Because you know it's impossible to tell from watching it on the sideline.
I think those balls should be banned, really, that FA Cup ball. A lot of the guys, they're trying to say that that's the ball that they use in the Premiership proper. But I'm not convinced, because it's not a good ball at all. I hate using it, and I hate the FA Cup games because of the football. The way it feels on your foot, the way it moves. But yeah, it's really hard to get hold of, I should say. Yeah, it's really hard to trap and shoot as well. So yeah, maybe I'm making excuses. De Bruyne seems to be able to kick it quite well, so you know, maybe it's just me. But yeah, I'm not a fan of the ball at all. But yeah, that makes for me, in my mind, that makes for a different game. Just that's something as trivial as that.
And I guess at least as a positive, you've got the balls to train with beforehand, haven't you?
Yeah, but bloody hell, when they go cold, they hurt your feet as well.
Oh,
it's, like,
really?
It's like a ball that you get on bloody Weymouth Beach with the little ones. You know, it moves all around you. I don't think the keepers will like it, but yeah, we train with them the day before, and we try and get used to them as much as we can.
That was Reuben Reid there. I guess it's that time of the podcast again. I need to ask you for predictions. I mean, David, how can you see this weekend panning out?
A 2-1 win to City, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Dan?
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw, forcing everyone to freeze on a cold Tuesday night in a couple of weeks' time.
Quivering already at the thought of that one. Jamie, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against a draw and a replay, but I'm going to go for a narrow 2-1 City win as well.
2-1 City, I reckon. Okay. Right, we'll round things off with a question or two. Anthony Beveridge, he's got in touch with us. He's asked, who would you drop if Ryan Harley is fit? Dan, I think you mentioned something about whether Harley was kind of fit to play or not. But, I mean, who would you drop if, or who can you see making way if Harley is fit enough to make a return?
I think we're probably looking a couple of weeks down the line before he's, you know, fully match fit, ready to start. Games play 90 minutes, but you kind of feel a 3-5-2 is the system that could get, you know, potentially get the best out of him, because you know he's not in a midfield two and therefore having to do all that defensive work and the running that, you know, he often, you know, has been, you know, criticised in the past for not wanting to do, and you know, and he's also not shunted out on the left hand side where perhaps, you know, he doesn't get, you know, a chance to get involved creatively enough. I mean, you know, he does do that, you know, we see he's done the defensive work in terms of he marks space particularly well rather than marking players, which Paul Tisdale definitely likes. I mean, you kind of feel if you're looking at that midfield, probably Lloyd James is the one you'd say is the most vulnerable of the three alongside Boateng and Taylor, because, you know, Taylor's got that industry, that drive going forward. I mean, Boateng's, you know, probably got the more the defensive side of the game, you know, can win the tackles and also drive forward. That allows Harley to, you know, to come in and be a little bit more creative as well. But that would probably be, you know, the most obvious solution. I mean, he potentially might go back, of course, to, you know, to a 4-4-2 system where Harley if he does go back to that, he's likely to slot it out on the left wing, and you know, either Holmes or Jay Taylor possibly on the right, if it does. But I guess obviously by the time you know Jordan Tilson obviously come back as well, you know, could you know another option in that midfield as well. But you feel 3-5-2 definitely could get the best out of Harley, as we've definitely seen in the past, sort of playing either on that left hand side of a three or as a number more of a number 10, linking up with the strikers. And you can definitely see his creativity slotting runs for McLinden, to run in behind, or bringing Stockley into the game, could be a real threat.
It was interesting, I think post Accrington, I think Tiz was quite, he gave plenty of praise, didn't he, to Harley for, I think, sort of calling him a fine athlete, being able to come back after so long out injured and play as he did. But he also praised his defensive work, didn't he? Do you think that was a slight sort of leaping to his defence, given some of the criticism he can occasionally receive about sort of not mucking out?
Yeah, he does get a bit of stick actually, Harley, from fans for not, as Dan pointed to, perhaps running back. And he's never been that sort of player, really, a sprinter. He's more of a casual sort of player, sort of like Berbatov was at Tottenham. He's very laid back, I suppose, but when he does work hard, he is one of the best. And as Tisdale said after that the Chelsea game, that I saw a little bit of actually the highlights, and he can get stuck in, and on his day he's one of the best in the league, I'd say. He was absolutely brilliant when he signed for us, and he had everything. He's a ball winner, a great distributor as well, and a goal scorer as well. Maybe because he's been in and out of the team with injuries, he hasn't got that rhythm back yet. But once he gets a run of games, I'm sure he is as good as anyone. And I do think it was a little reminder to the fans how valuable he is. And I think Tisdale said he's the best defender he's had at the club, and it'd be hard to argue for me, because like I say, Harley's as good as anyone on his day.
Brilliant. Well, I think that wraps things up for this week. Thanks very much for joining us, and tune in again next week for another edition of Grecian's Gossip.